So we're on Daf Lamed Amud Beis on the top of the Amud, which starts with the words Kol Yomei D'Shabsa. And all we have to know from yesterday's discussion on Daf Lamed Amud Aleph is HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveals to David HaMelech that he's going to die on Shabbos. David HaMelech is not so happy about that. He tries to convince the Ribbono Shel Olam to give him another day because he realizes it's going to be impossible for anyone to bury his body on Shabbos, so why not let me die on Sunday? And the whole discussion about why God did not agree. Then David HaMelech tries to suggest maybe I could die on a Friday, and still God doesn't agree. So at the end of the day, David is destined to die on Shabbos. So now David HaMelech tries to deal with this reality when he finds out that he's going to die on Shabbos. Kol Yomei D'Shabsa, every Shabbos, Havi Yosef V'Kagaras Kul Yoma, he would sit and learn during the entire day, because as the Gemara tells us in Masechta Sota, that when a person learns Torah, he's protected from the Malach HaMavis. And therefore David, knowing full well that the Malach HaMavis would be after him on Shabbos, he continued learning Torah. Hahu Yom Debay Lemeinach Nafshe, on that day when David HaMelech was destined to die, Kam Malach HaMavis Kameh, the Malach HaMavis stood in front of him, V'lo Yachale, and he couldn't take David's neshama. Delavi pasuk pumei migirsa, because he didn't stop learning for one moment. And this phrase, by the way, is used very often when we describe big masmidim and giants of that generation. We use that phrase lo pasuk pumei migirsa. He doesn't stop learning. Omar, so the Malach HaMavis declares, my eved lecha, what can I do in order to stop you from learning so that I can take your neshama? Havilei bustina. Bustina is the Aramaic word for a pardes. David had an orchard. Achorei beise, behind his house. Osa Malach HaMavis, the Malach HaMavis goes into this pardes, this orchard. Solik, he climbs up. Ubachish bi'ilane, he climbs up one of the trees and he starts shaking the tree, which would make a very strange noise. And David hears the noise from the trees. Nafak l'michse, he goes out to his orchard to see what is the nature of this very strange noise. But as he was walking out, he continued learning. Havi solik bidarga, and in order to get, apparently the orchard was a little bit higher up, so David climbs up to get to the orchard, and ifchis darga mituse, but the rung of the ladder breaks underneath him, and he gets scared, ishtik, and he stopped learning, and immediately he died. The Malach HaMavis was able to take his life. After David dies, Shlomo Melech has two questions. Mishalach Shlomo lebeit midrash, and he sends them to the scholars in the house of study. Abba Meis, my father has died after he went out of the house into his orchard, Umutal Bachama, and he's laying in the sun. His body is decomposing. A dead body is called mukta, and you're not allowed to be metaltalit. Do I have no option? Is there no way around the Isur mukta? Find me, if you can, a solution. Now here we have a machlokas rishonim about the extent or the situation in which a dead body is asur betiltal. According to one opinion, which is quoted by the Mordechai in the name of Rabbeinu Avigdor, Eina mes osa betiltil el kshu aru, only if he's naked. Avalimu lavush b'ksuso mutal taltilo agav ksuso. So we have in the laws of muktzah, tiltul muktzah, you have something called agav, that is something is muktzah, but it's also connected to something that's not muktzah, then you're allowed to move it. And the poskim ask Akash on this Rabbeinu Avigdor, what was Shlomo HaMelech's question, what was he vacillating on? Apparently David was wearing his clothing, right? He fell off the ladder. And the Magen Avraham tries to defend Rabbeinu Avigdor, and he says that in the case of Bigdei HaMelech, when the Melech dies, his begadim by definition have no function. No one's allowed to wear them. In fact, we burn them. That's a separate din of Bigdei Malchus. And therefore, in the case of David HaMelech, there was no possibility of being metaltal his body, agav, his begadim, because his begadim were toned straight for, they were muktzah. In any event, now we get to the second question that Shlomo sent to the Beis Medrash. Uklovim shel Beis Abba Re'evim. He says that I have to feed the dogs of Beis Abba. And what was my essay? What can I do? Now, the second suffix of Shlomo Melech, is it mutter tircha to cut up a piece of nevela for the klovim? And this is called tircha. The Hagos, Rabbi Eliezer Moshe Horvitz, says that Shlomo was mistapek Shema Kevan Shu Onein, that he has the status of an Onein, and therefore he doesn't have any responsibility now to feed his klovim, and therefore the klovim are like dogs of Hefker, and we're not allowed to feed dogs of Hefker on Shabbos. A lot of people don't know that. Sholchule, the Chachamim sent him a response. Chatoch Nevela V'anach Lifnei Klovim. You're allowed to feed the dogs, despite the fact that you're an owner, you still have that responsibility, and it's not something that you would postpone until after Shabbos. Do we have a solution for your father? The Avicha, Hanach Olav Kikar Otinok V'taltalo. Place a loaf of bread or a baby on top of him, and you can be metaltal his body, al-yad, or agav, the kikar, or the tinok, and bring his body into the house. So they were able to solve both problems. Now, this entire agadita that we've been learning, starting on Lamed Omer Aleph, is authored by Rabbeinu Tanchom. And therefore, he adds the following postscript. He says, Lo Yofa Amar Shlomo, now we can shed a light on a pasuk in Koheles, Ki Lekelev Chai Hu Tov Min Haryeh Hamis. In other words, as far as the need for the dogs to feed the dogs, they allowed Shlomo Melech to cut up an avela, and he didn't have to make any questions, any shinuis, any unusual moves. But when it came to the Aryeh HaMeis, the Aryeh is a symbolic reference to David HaMelech, they were only allowing him to move David HaMelech's body through this unusual shinui of putting a kikar or a tinok on top of him. Now, originally, Rabbi Tanchum was asked the question about a chole, whether or not you're allowed to extinguish a candle if the light is bothering a chole. So now Rabbi Tanchum comes back to answer that question. He says, "Ule'inyan she'ela de'sha'ilna kadamechun," the question that we brought before you about kibuya ner litzor chole is ner kruya ner, v'nishmasel shel adam kruya ner, mutav Shetichbe Nero Shel Basav Adam Mipnei Nero Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. God lit a candle, and that's the neshama that he placed into the human body. The ner is a neshama in that sense. And the reason is because Nishmasu Shel Adam Kruya Ner. He doesn't spell out exactly how he knows that the neshama of a person is called a ner. That's based, Rashi says, on a pasuk in Mishlei Ner Hashem Nishmas Adam. Now, a candle, a flame, is lit by a human being. That's called Ner Shel Basar Vidam. The Ner of the neshama of a person is called the Ner of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Which Ner is greater? So he says it's better to extinguish the Ner of Basar Vidam rather than extinguish the Ner of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In other words, we're allowed to extinguish a candle in order to save the neshama of this chole. Now, l'chora, and this is what bothers Rashi here, Rabbi Tanchum is deriving from this pasuk, from this logic, that you're mechal Shabbos to save a life. But that we know from the Chai Bohem, the Lo Sheyomos Bohem, that's called Pikuach Nefesh, Docha Kol Torah Kula. So Rashi says that the reason why he couched it in these terms, and Ner Hashem Nishmas Adam, is because the people came to hear a drasha from him, and amongst the audience were Noshim, Amioretz, they were not all scholars. So he wanted to give him Divrei Agada that Moshchim es Halev, and that would interest them, and that's why he formulated in that particular way. Now, once we have this drasha of Rabbi Tanchum, and Rabbi Tanchum on Omid Aleph had raised what we thought was an apparent contradiction in terms of Shlomo HaMelech. In one pasuk, Shlomo HaMelech indicated that even the lowest of people, as long as they're alive, they're better than a dead Aryeh, a dead great person. But on the other hand, he said, Mishabech Anias HaMesim, Yosef and Achayim. And not only that, but it would seem from David HaMelech, and we'll take a look back on Daf Lamed Omid Aleph for a second. Just 1 second. David HaMelech declared La Mesim Yahaluka, that the dead people have a deficiency in Chashivas because they cannot sing the praises of the Almighty. And yet, Shlomo HaMelech and Koheles write Shabech Anias HaMesim Yosef Min Achayim. So the Gemara says, Om Rav Yehuda Berei de Rav Shmuel Bar Shilat Nishmei de Rav Bakshu Bikshu Chachomim Lignos Sefer Koheles. The Chachomim were thinking that maybe they should completely conceal the Book of Koheles, put it into Geniza. If they should Dvar Sosrim Zedzeh, because he contradicts himself on this very issue about who's greater, the dead or the live. Mipnei Malo Gonzu, why didn't they put it away? Mipnei Shetchilos, Tchiloso Divrei Torah, the Sofo Divrei Torah, the opening of the Book of Koheles is Shevach for Torah, and Chashivas HaTorah. And at the end of the book, there is again a very important Dvar Torah. So the Gemara clarifies this. Chiloso Divrei Torah, the beginning of Sefer Koheles, is Divrei Torah. As it says, Dichsiv Ma Yisron Li Odom B'chol Amolo Shiyamol Tachas HaShomesh. What benefit does man get from all the work that he puts in? It's all vanities. The Amri Debei, Rabbi Yanai, to explain that pasuk, Tachas HaShemesh, Hu Di'ein Lo. In other words, man has no benefit from the Omel from his sweat and toil, b'divrei olam hazeh, that were created tachas Hashem, which means after the sun, then he has no benefit. But amelus b'torah is kodem Hashemesh, because the Torah was created before the sun was created. And this is based on a Gemara in Psachim. Is therefore Yeshlo here will have benefit. That's the opening line in Sefer Koheles. And Sofo Divrei Torah, Tichsiv, Sof Tavara Kol Nishmaes Elokim Yirei, Es Mitzvosav Shmar Kizeh Kol Ha'odom. And the Pshat in that Pasuk is that that at the end of days, whatever man does here, it's really not important. What is important is his Yiras Hashem and his mitzvos. Mikey Zek Kol HaAdam. What's the emphasis here on Zek Kol HaAdam? Amar Rabbi Eliezer, we don't know what the gear says. Anyway, Kol HaOlam Kulo Nivra El Bishvil Zeh. The world is justified its creation for this person who's a Yoreh Hashem and observes God's mitzvos. Another part, Pshat is Rabbi Abba Bar Kanomar Shokul Zeh. This person is weighty, Kineged Kol HaOlam Kulo. If you put the whole world on one side of the scale and this person on the other, he weighs equally to them. Or Shimon ben Azay Omer v'Amrile Shimon ben Zoma Omer Lo Nivra Kol HaOlam Kulo Ela Latzeves Lazeh. The entire world was created in order for the people to have a chibur, to be connected to this person who's a Yorei Hashem, and that's called Shimush Talmidei Chachamim, and that's the great mitzvah of Shimush. He quotes here in the footnote in the Mesifta the Maral, and first of all, we should mention here the Gemara Brachas Nun Ches, that when Ben Zoma saw people on the Har Bayis, he said Baruch, he thanked Hashem Shebaras Kol Elu Lisham Sheni, to serve me. And therefore, if we put that together with the statement here of Ben Zoma, when he says Lo Nivra Kol Olam Letzaves, it means Lisham Sheni. Anyway, the Maral says that there is a distinction between these three drushas. They all sound pretty similar. He says the following. Rabbi Eliezer says that the world wasn't created except for the purpose of the Yorei Hashem. He is God's portion, so to speak, in this world. As the Gemara says a little bit later on here, Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Olamo Ela Yiras Shamayim Bilvat. So the entire world and all its creations were created for the need of the Yorei Hashem. Like the animals were created for the best interest of man. That's the first drasha here of Rabbi Eliezer. Then we get to the drasha of Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana. Even Shar Bruim, other creations, Nivru Litzorach Atzmam, even if I grant you that there are other creatures that were created by God that have their own purpose, Elishi Yare Hashem, he who is a God-fearing, is Nivdal Mehim, he's not considered part of the Klal, because he's separated from the physicality. In his priority system, it's the fear of God that comes first. And therefore he's omeid bifnei atzma. In other words, whereas Rabbi Loza said that everyone else is just secondary, Rabbi Abba is willing to admit that the other creatures of the world are worth something in and of themselves, but if you put the Yirei Hashem on the scale, he is equal to all the others. He's nivdal. He's separate from the rest of the world. He's omeid bifnei atzma. He's shakul kenegdon. And then we get to Shimon ben Azai, that the world was created litzaves lazeh, which means lischaber liyirei Hashem, and Lios Nishlam al Yodo. Their perfection comes from their clinging or their connection to this Yirei Hashem Shal Yidei Shu Yirei Hashem the Kula Mischavrim Elov Harei Hareza Ki'ilu Yesh L'chol HaOlam Madrega Shal Yirei Hashem. And somehow vicariously, if you cling to this Yirei Hashem, you get that a little bit of that Madrega of Yirei Hashem. V'Yichuso Shal Yirei Hashem L'Shar Brios Uki Yichus Wakiyachas Haneshomel Aguf Kshem Shaneshomu Ruchnis V'Nivdelos Min Aguf V'Lo Nivra Aguf El Kedei L'Schaber El Haneshomel Kach Yirei Hashem Nivdal Mishara Olam V'Lo Nivra Kulam El L'Schaber Elov. Because it's interesting, the third drasha of Shimon ben Zoma is very similar to Rabbi Elazar. The only difference is Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar is adding the element of Shimush. El Bishvil. Bishvil means maybe it's, I'm not sure, but maybe he means it's a kind of a Shimush. Let me just read again the Maral's Pshat. He says, Kol Abruim lo Nivru el Litzorech. Yeah, Litzorech Yirei Hashem. He actually compares it to the case of the animal that's created for the purpose of man. But I think that what Shimon ben Zoma is adding here is that although the other people deserve to be created, but their level of somebody nivdal, like a Yerushalayim, is dependent upon how much they connect to him. L'schaber elov. Very similar. Okay. Umay dvarav sosrim zetzeh. Let's go back to this statement that we just learned that the Chachamim initially Bikshu Wigno Sefer Kohelis Mnei Dvarav Sosrim Zetzeh. What is this contradiction? Again, we had the drasha of Rabbi Tanchum, but now the Gemara is offering a different presentation. He says, Ksiv, it says in one perek, Tov Kas Mischok. Anger is better than laughter. It sounds like he's comparing two negative things. Two things that are negative. Kas and Schok. And Uksivi has another pasuk where he says, L'schok amarti maholol. Maholol means something wonderful. Something that's worthy of praise. So which Schok is negative and which is positive? Now he has another contradiction. Ksiv v'shibachti anias ha-simcha, ksiv l'simcha maza osa. Is simcha something positive or it's pointless? Lo kasha. There's no contradiction. Now we get to the reconciliation of the first contradiction regarding schok. Tov kas mi schok. Tov kas shekoyis ha-kodesh baruch al ha-tzadikim b'olam hazeh. God punishes a tzaddik here in this world, and that cleanses him from his sins, so he'll go right into the pearly gates with a clean slate, ready for all his schar. But the schok of the Rishoyim in this world, when God shows them all sorts of good things, and does, you know, bestows upon them all sorts of great things, that's a reward for the little merits that they have in this world, so that when they get to Olam Haba, they have nothing whatsoever. Well, the schok amarti mahulal, which kind of schok is positive? That's schok shemesachik kodesh baruch hu atzadikim b'olam haba. Right, that's going to be the joy of HaKadosh Baruch Hu together with the celebration with the tzaddikim in the next world. And that's a Gemara, I think, at the end of Masechet Pesachim about the tremendous rikud, the beautiful banquet for the tzaddikim at the end of time. Next, the second contradiction. V'shibachti ani es ha-simcha, zo simcha shel mitzvah. For example, Rashi says, Simchas Choson V'Kala, Achnosis Kala. That's a great positive Simcha. And when Shlomo says, Simcha Maza Osa, what does it gain? Zo Simcha She'ena Mitzvah, it has no purpose. So Shlomo Melch is teaching us about the chashivus of Simcha Shel Mitzvah. L'olam necha she'ein shechina shora. This is a Gemara at the beginning of the third parak of fourth parak of Brachos. Is lo mitoch atzlus, lo mitoch atzlus, lo mitoch schok, lo mitoch kalus rosh, lo mitoch sicha, lo mitoch dvar betelim, el mitoch dvar mitzvah, dar simcha shel mitzvah. And what Shlomo Melch is teaching us about the chashivas of simcha simchas mitzvah is that HaKadosh Baruch is not shore his shechina on a person who's in a state of atzvus, of sadness. And here he quotes the Meiri, who adds that itzavon mitamte mesalev. Wow, very strong language here. He could have quoted the Bretzlover Rebbe. And lo mitoch atzlus. Atzlus, the Mefarshim say, is a bitul gadol avodas Hashem, when a person doesn't have the energy to serve Hashem. Lo mitoch schok, he's talking about perhaps schok of leitzonus, some sort of laid-back frivolity. You know, he's not serious. Lo mitoch kalus rosh is also kind of leitzonus. And sicha means a sichas chulin. He's wasting his time with idle chatter. But that's pretty similar to dvar betelim. Perhaps sicha is something that has a purpose to it, whereas dvar betelim has no purpose whatsoever. Ella, but rather, how do you get to shechina? Is mitoch dvar simcha shel mitzvah. And the Marsha adds that this pasuk v'shibachti is teaching us that the shechina is shore mitoch simcha. And now we have to derive this principle from a pasuk in Elisha Navi, when Yehoram Melch Yisrael and Yehoshaphat Melch Yehuda came to Elisha and they went out to battle against Moab, and the Navi Elisha gets very angry at Yehoram because he's continuing in the sinful ways of his predecessor, Yeravam. Shenemar, and the Pasuk says, now, after Elisha gets very angry, so now the Shekhinah has departed from him. Omar, he declares, V'ata now, Kuli Menage, bring me a music player, like a harpist. And the pasuk records that the menagein played, and then the shechina came back to him because of the simcha, and only at that point there was hashras shechina. Om Rabbi Yehuda v'chein l'dvar halacha, that even if you learn a halacha, then you still have to begin with simcha. And he writes here, Tam Adover Lefi, Shatorah Hi Elokis, Torah is divine. And again, you can hear the language of the Maral, of course. Ein lo chibur, Ela al dover sholem, Velo al dover chaser, Lo simcha, Nafsho shel odom, Hi bechisaron. So the Torah is divine, and there's no connection between the divine and something unless it is perfect. And without simcha, there's no perfection. Amar Rava v'chein lechalom tov. If a person goes to sleep in a state of simcha, then he'll see some good dreams. The dream itself, the Gemara tells that the end of Brachos is 1/60th of Nevuah, and the Shechina is not shora el mitoch simcha. Chalom tov, which is a Nevuah, is only mitoch simcha. But this has no impact on a chalom ra. And then he quotes the Chasam Sofer, Shechalom Tov Hainu Chalom Emes. Shafil K'she'eno Tov, Yesh Lo Tova Mikach Shehodiyehu, Sheyuchal Levatil Hagzera Yidei Tshuvu Tfilav Al Charom Ra, Hainu She'eno Emes, Umavhilim Oso Bechinom, V'nechshav Hu B'toras Onesh. So the Chasam Sofer says that the flip side of a Chalom Tov, which is called a Chalom Ra, is not what you think. It's not the opposite of a Chalom Tov. It's not foreboding something evil that's going to happen to you, because such a Chalom is really, if it's a true Nevuah, it's a good thing that God is telling you that you have to do Tshuva, Tefillah, whatever it is, whatever it takes to be Mevatel is Gzera Ra. What is a Chalom Ra? That's a Chalom which is brought upon a person simply as a punishment. Lavhil also, just to scare him. So that's why, if you're listening to what's going on in the various videos that are going around, they're all talking about tshuva, and they're all talking about not being scared, right? Because if, you know, what we're going through now with the coronavirus is a bad dream, and it's only meant to punish us, that's a bad dream. But you can make this into a good dream and see it as a sign that God is warning you that unless you shape up and you do tshuva, this could be a bad, bad dream. So we can make it into a good dream. The Gemara now is a kashan Rabbi Yehuda. Aini, is this really true? That when you're starting to learn a Dvar Halacha, you have to start with the Dvar Simcha. Va'omer Avgidu Amar Rav Kol Tam and Chacham. When a person sits as a Talmud in front of his Rebbe is a Chacham, and if he's not almost chattering from nervous tension, from Ema V'Yira, is Tichvena, which means he should be burned. You know, very often when you talk about the lips and the mouth, you talk about getting burnt. You know, you take something too hot in your mouth. And it's clear here that Rav is advocating in favor of a state of fear. You know, that's not at all appropriate for a state of simcha. And now you're about to learn halacha with your Rebbe, and you're in a state of simcha? That's not appropriate. Shenemar sifsosav, in shirashim shoshanim netfos mor over. Al tikre mar over el amar over. Al tikre shoshanim ela sheshonim. So sheshonim is referring to the learning of Torah. And sifsosav shoshanim means he's studying Torah. And mar over means he's got this state of fear. Ema v'yira. And that is irreconcilable with simcha, lokasha, habarabba v'hab talmid. So Gemara gives a number of answers. The first answer is that Rabbi Yehuda, who requires simcha when he's learning, that's for the Rav. The Rav has to be in a state of simcha. But that which Rav says, that he has to be in a state of ema v'yira, that's the talmid. Ibois ema hava habarabba. Both of these statements reflect the Rebbe who's teaching others. V'lo kasha, hamakami deliftach, v'lo bosa deliftach. Now, before he starts the shir, then he should tell a joke or something and bring simcha. That simcha could open up the, you know, the hearts or the souls of the talmidim. But v'ha, when it says in the name of Rav that the limit has to be b'yira b'ema, is that's lebosa of the Pasach, after he began the study of Torah, the transmission of Torah to his Talmidim, then he's got to shift to the mood of Ema. And the Gemara illustrates this, ki hada rabba, the minig of rabba was mikame de Pasach lu l'rabbanan, before he started teaching, amar milsa de b'dichusa. He would tell a joke. I thought this was Rav, but I guess I made a mistake. It's Rabba. Okay. Ubidachi Ubadchi Rabbanon. And as a result of this joke that he tells, is Niftach Lev HaChachamim. Somehow he says that this Milsa Dibdichusa, yeah, I don't know how a Rebbe is going to tell a new joke every day. That's really a that's a heavy burden. Maybe you could Google jokes for Rebbes. I don't know where you'll find an answer to this question. But Lebasov, later on, after they got past that initial state of Simcha, and they're now getting down to serious, heavy-duty learning, is Yosef Be'emosa U'posach B'shmaita. They should, you know, get themselves into a different mindset, and that is one of Ema, and now they're ready to start their learning. The Gemara continues its agadic statements about the works that were authored by Shlomo Melch, that Sefer Mishlei, Bikshu Lignos, Shoyu Dvarim, Sosrim Zed Zeb, Neymalo Gonzua. There was a contradiction in Mishlei. Amri the Chachom say Sefer Koheles, Lav Ayaninin, V'Ashkechinan Taima. If we successfully were able to save the book of Koheles and reconcile all the contradictions, is we can do the same thing for the book of Mishlei. Umay Dvar of Sosrim Zetzeh, what was the contradiction in the book of Mishlei? Ksiv, it says in Mishlei, Altan Ksil Ki'iv Laso, don't give an answer to a foolish cynic when he says stupid things. Uksiv, but the next pasuk says, Ane Ksil Ki'iv Laso, give an answer to him based on his stupidity, lokasha, hobe divrei Torah, hobe mili di alma. When it comes to divrei Torah, if you don't show him a good answer, then you might lose him. But in the case of mili di alma, which is just divrei olam hazeh, and he wants to, you know, trying to challenge you and so forth and so on, then you know what? If you start responding to his controversial statements, then you've lowered yourself to his level. And Chachamim don't lower themselves liskotev, you know, to get into battles with these kind of ksilim. Now, literally in English, they translate a ksil as a fool, I'm pretty sure, in the English translations of Mishlei. I didn't look it up. But the truth is, I don't think that's what the word ksil means in Sefer Mishlei. I think ksil means a cynic, you know, someone who thinks that we're here today and they bury you and that's it. You know, you might as well enjoy life. He writes here a footnote in the name of the Eitz Yosef. That's a super commentary on the Ein Yaakov. He writes that b'divrei Torah im lo toshiv lo, if you don't give him an answer to his questions, yira hadavar yiroi hadavar, it will appear kimo as if hanach. I'm sorry, as if hincha. Maskim l'daito akozeves. He may say things that are antithetical to Torah, and you have to contradict him because otherwise the onlooker might think that you were shtika kododam. Now the Gemara gives an example of a case where you should not respond to the shtus in mili di alma of this ksil. Ki hoda havu di asa l'kame de Rebbe. A story that happened with a person who came in the presence of Rebbe. Amar Leh, he said to Rebbe, Ishticha Ishti. As if to say that he had a relationship with his wife. Ubanecha Banai. And as a result of this relationship that I had with your wife, your children are really my children. Amar Leh. So Rebbe said to him, Shema Ritzoncha Shetishte Kos Shel Yayin. Are you in the mood for a drink of wine? Shasa, he drank the wine and he died. And what you see from this is that Rebbe did not even bother to respond to the shtus of this ksil, and instead he caused his death. Now, according to the Ein Yaakov, HaKoshesh Ko HaYekikos Shemashkim Al Besora, that when you hear a good piece of news, you drink a special kind of wine. And Rebbe said, "Oh, I want to show him what a great thing he did for me. You know that he revealed something that I would not have known." Upaka umeis mishum shezbara shehu atzmo hoya mamzer vare mamzer eno chai. So anyway, he has some sort of an agadic statement of a Gemara in Yevamos that a mamzer will eventually die, because let's say we don't know he's a mamzer, Hashem will not allow him to continue and then mix by married into Klal Yisrael. Now, what does it mean that he died here? I don't know, according to the Ein Yaakov, I'm not sure that he died immediately on the spot. I mean, there's no poison in the wine. Fine. Very powerful Gemara here. Hahudi also l'kami de Rabbi Chiya. Somebody came in the presence of Rabbi Chiya. Amalei, again, this kind of axial. Imcha ishti. In other words, I had snus with your mother. Viata bni, and you're my son. The same story again. Amalei, Rabbi Chiya said to him, Rizon chashtishte koshel yayin. Apparently, he thought he was a mamzer, this axial. Shasa upaka. Amar Rabbi Chiya made a comment on this story that took place with Rebbe. Ahanulet slose le Rebbe dlo leshavye b'nei mamzere. The tefillah of Rebbe was powerful in countering or in neutralizing the laws of that person, which means the following: that if that seal would not have died, then people would start listening to this shtuyot, and they would start assuming that there was some sort of admixture of mamzerus in the family. But the Rebbe Kiavi Matzli, after Rebbe would complete his tefillah, and this I believe is Gemara in Brachos, he would add a special silent prayer. Yiratzum v'nech Hashem Elokeinu shetatzilenu ayom mi'azei ponim mi'azus ponim. In other words, save me from these azei ponim, they shouldn't do me damage. U'mi'azus ponim, from those who would want to claim that there's some mamzerus in the family. That's called, a mamz is called an az ponim. Now we said in Divrei Torah you should respond to the ksil. So the Gemara asks, but Divrei Torah maihi? Can you give me an example of some sort of stupidity about Torah that you have to respond to? Ki hadi Yosef Rama Gamliel. Rama Gamliel was teaching Kadorish Asida Isha Shetele B'chol Yom. At the time of Mashiach, a woman will give birth on a daily basis. Shenemar Hora Violetes Yachtov. It means, Yachtov means she will become pregnant and she'll give birth on the same day. Hora Violetes. So it means that on the day that she gives birth, she was already pregnant. And he says, Shebiyom Sheteled Kfar Mu'uberesi Bivlad Acher V'yira Dover Kamosha Horsa V'yoldo Ka'achas. So that's a whole new interpretation of this Gemara that Rashi offers here. And the Marsha expands upon it. So what it means is that she was pregnant, and she gave birth, not sure exactly, let me read it one more time here again. What does Rabbi Gamliel derive from this pasuk about Yemos HaMashiach? Shetia Hora Violetis V'Oso Hayom. Let me just see if he has something here in the English translation, Shehem, he says that she will conceive and give birth together. The prophet states that when the Jewish exiles return to Israel, a great multitude of persons will come there together, including newly pregnant women and those who have just given birth. I mean, that's not what we said here. Mashma shetiyeh chora v'yoledes biyom echad, haynu shebiyom sheteled, on the day that she gives birth, she was already pregnant. She was pregnant with a second child. V'yira adavik moshe harsa v'yolda ke'achas. In other words, I guess since she became pregnant on the same day she gave birth, normally a woman after birth will not get pregnant, but in Yimos HaMashiach, the Teva, I guess, will change. So it's going to look as if she gave birth on the very day she became pregnant. But in truth, that's not what's happening. She's giving birth because she was pregnant before, and even after the birth, on that very same day, she conceives again. And the reason for it, he gives here, is that B'Yimos HaMashiach, there'll be a ribuy of people, and they'll all come to Yerushalayim. Liglug Olav Oso Talmud. And this Liglug is the Ivalta of that we spoke about in Mishle, V'Yomer, and he says, Ein kol chodesh tachas ha-shamesh. How is it possible that nature will change in the future when Kohelis says there are no changes in nature? Omar Loram Gamliel had to answer that Talmud. He says, Bovar eka dugma b'olam hazeh. I'm going to show you something that exists in this world, and you'll get the point. Nofak achvele, he went outside and he pointed to a tarnagolus, a hen, and she gives birth to eggs on a daily basis, one day after the other. So too in the case of a woman, she became pregnant, she gave birth, and she became pregnant again. But we see that Rabbi Gamliel made an effort to answer the Ivaluto, the stupidity of this Talmud, of this Ksil, so that people would understand the words of Torah. Su Yosef Rav Gamliel v'Kadarish, he gave a Josh Asidim at the time of Mashiach, Ilonos, the trees, Motziim Peres b'chol yom, they will produce fruit on a daily basis, Shenemar Poskin Yechezkel, V'nasa Anof, V'asa Peri. My enough, he says, what's the branch over here? B'chol yom, on a daily basis, there will be branches on the trees, and just like there'll be branches on the trees every day, af pri, there'll be fruits b'chol yom on a daily basis. And it means that immediately after the fruits are plucked from the tree, there will be other fruits that will regenerate to replace the new fruits that will replace the old fruits. Legal of Satamanova Ksivein Chadosh Takas Hashon Shavalo Bo Viar Eka Dugmasabolamazet Nafak Achve Late Slough. He found something called a tree that's called a tzlaf. And a tzlaf produces three different types of fruits on three different days. One is called Evyonos, the other is called Kafrisim, the other is called Ulovim. V'enom tzomchim yachad, elok shalokton echad, when you take one of them, let's say you take the Evyonos, miyad gadol acher, then you get the Kafrisim. You take the Kafrisim, you get the Ulovim. So even though you're telling me, ein dover chodosh tachas hashamesh, this is not called a dover chodosh, that the Elon could produce fruits immediately after the fruits were collected, were harvested, because there is such an entity in this world. So let me just read to you the English translation here that I have. He says, I'll show you an example of this kind of thing occurring right now, and he shows him a tzlaf. Just 1 second, I lost the place here. Oh, he shows him a caper bush, he calls it in English, which is, he writes, he's a low prickly shrub native to the Mediterranean regions. In the days of the Mishnah Talmud, three products of the bush were commonly eaten: its fruits, its palm-like shoots, and its flowers. Each of these three parts of the bush would bloom in very quick succession. V'su Yosef, Rabbi, we'll finish up with this, Rabbi Gamliel, v'kadorish, asider et Yisrael shetotzi gluskos. At the time of the Mashiach, the soil of the land will bring forth bread, rolls of bread, I guess you call it pitot, gluskos, uklei melas, and fine woolen clothes. Shenemar, based on a posuk, in Tehillim it says, Yehi fisas bar ba'aretz, there should be a pisas bar in the land. And what's a pisas bar? He says here, the words pisas bar are interpreted homiletically as references to bread rolls and woolen clothes. Ligle olivos a talmud ain kol chodesh taksa shomesh. Amar lei, Rav Gamliel said, bo ve'er eka dugmason bolamazeh. And again, in all these cases, Rav Gamliel had to respond because we're talking about divrei Torah. Nafik achvele kimein upitrios. Rav Gamliel went out and he showed him mushrooms and truffles. These are plants that grow quickly to maturity over a single night, and the round shape approximates a bread roll. The achle melas navra bar kora. And as for the reference to woolen clothes, Rav Gamliel showed him a bast of young palm heart. When a palm heart begins to grow, it is encased in a wool-like natural sheathing known as a bast. This sheathing could theoretically be used as material for clothes, and indeed is commonly used as raw material in the production of rope matting. So we're up to the last line here on Daf Lamed Amud Beis about the humility of Hillel and Mirtz Hashem. We'll cover that in tomorrow's Shiur.